Good morning. It's great to have each and every one of you here this morning with us. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of Psalms this morning, Psalms chapter 31. We do have some announcements we want to make you aware of, things that are going on here around at Faith Baptist Church. Help you explain a little bit what's going on in our Sunday school class. I think it's May 9th. We're going to, all the adults are going to be meeting here up until May 9th together. May 9th, we're going to begin a college and career type class somewhere around the ages of 17, 18, all the way up to 28. And then we're going to have a, I don't know what the right word is because I don't want to be offensive, but that Nick's age group, because if I call them the young adults and the older people are going to say, what are we, old adults? And I don't want to offend anybody. So then we're going to have that class start again. And that's somewhere, you know, with kid parents age group where they have kids still at home, 18 to 50, 55, things like that. And then we're going to have the rest of the adults come out here and be meeting together. So we're still working on teachers, curriculum and things like that, but for the next few weeks we're going to be meeting together. On May 2nd we're having a revival, so Brother McBride will be teaching and preaching out here throughout all the services, so looking forward to that. But so this summer we do definitely plan on having some different classes that are out there, and then also after the fall time I plan on teaching a couples class to any adults that want to come. So all those different things are going on for that. Our business meeting that was supposed to be for this evening during the service, we're moving it to next week. We're still waiting on some quotes. For some reasons, we have some contractors that had told us there were going to be quotes available for things, and it just hasn't happened yet. So that will be next Sunday night. There is a men's prayer breakfast on the 24th. That's from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. We mentioned the spring revival May 2nd through the 5th already. Ladies Appreciation Luncheon, that is May 15th. We'll have a sign-up sheet out there soon for you to sign at. Also, mark your calendars for Junior Camp that's coming up, Teen Camp and Kids Crusade. All those things are written in your bulletin if you got one. So that's it for all the things going on. Had some great services last week. We're thankful for the team that came, thankful for the choir and the hard work that went in last week's Easter Sunday. Also had a teen rally on Monday night, had a couple young people that made professions of faith, so that was exciting for that. And they had a group of over 40 kids that were here, so didn't know how many were going to come because it was all done last minute. And Brother Van Gelderen did a good job, and thankful for the influence he was able to have while being here. Okay, so tonight, this morning in Sunday school class, we're going to be looking at Psalms chapter 31. Remember to be praying, as it was, I know the prayer requests were already mentioned. Mr. NT give you a little bit of more information. Mr. NT, about 3:30 this morning, passed away, went home to be with the Lord. I got the opportunity to spend a couple hours or a number of hours with their family yesterday, and I was glad I got to, and he was ready to go. Either the Lord was going to have to heal him, or he wasn't comfortable that he was living on a lot of morphine and things like that. So be praying for them. Also, Gracie Browder, as I was mentioned earlier, she's 16. I'm not 100% sure, but she has also lost 25 pounds, and so for a young teenage girl that has had problems with her autoimmune system for a long time, and she had been doing well for a few years. Most of you remember the Browders. He pastored in Edenton at Emmanuel Baptist Church for, I think, 10 years. He was a member of her church for about 6 months when they were in transition. Has the oldest boy that's named Caleb, and then also has Bryson, and also has Joshua. But Gracie's the one that's had some medical issues over the years, and they're struggling to find things that are going to help her and heal those. The medicines that they had before are just not proving to be effective. So 13 days in the hospital, they say she has a really sweet spirit about and disposition about it, but obviously everyone's concerned for her. So be lifting up Gracie Browder, and I did tell her, told them her church should be praying for him today, and that's what they're asking specifically, that we pray that they find the medicine that's going to help her body, or that the Lord would just heal her body. So if you can, remember to lift up Gracie Browder to the Lord today and throughout the rest of this week too. Psalms chapter 31, let's jump in here. Title of this morning's message is, He Shall Strengthen Your Heart. he shall strengthen your hearts. And obviously with that, he is referring to God. What is he able to do? He's able to strengthen your heart. You know, when I preach, lots of times preachers, they preach a lot of messages and sermons that are challenging and messages and sermons that are supposed to hit us in the heart. Sometimes people would call it hard preaching. But you know what? The Bible does teach a lot about, hey, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. And there's messages that we need that hit that are kind of hard-hitting sometimes, but there's also messages that are very encouraging. And today in this Psalm, chapter 31, I think we're going to read the entire Psalm. We're going to focus mostly on the last verse, but David here is, he's struggling. You ever been there? I know I've been there before. He's struggling. And he needs help. He needs encouragement. He's not turning to other places. He's turning to the Lord. And he calls God his defense, his place of defense. He calls God his rock. He calls God his confidence. He commends his spirit in the hands of the Lord. All these different things. But at the end, he says this. He says, he shall strengthen your heart. So if you're struggling a little bit, if you're, obviously I know probably not doubting certain things, but in the day and time we live in, there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world. People get tired. They get tired from living such busy lives. They get discouraged because of the different things that happen in their lives. And they need strength. And the question is, where's your strength going to come from? And there's one thing about your physical strength, but also there's something else more about your spiritual strength. Like I said, I got to spend a little bit of time with Miss Diane yesterday. And she's a wonderful lady. She's just trying to make it through what's going on. And she needs strength. But the amazing promise that God gives us is, he gives us strength. And I don't know about you, but there's been more than once in my life where I didn't know how I was going to make it through the next day, next week, next year. And I know I probably haven't faced many of the same things that you guys have faced over the years. Probably tougher things and tougher challenges. But man, the Lord saw me through each of them. And he's been faithful. He strengthened me where I didn't know where the strength was going to come from. So in this psalm, this is supposed to be, I guess, an encouragement to you. About hoping in the Lord. Because we'll read verse 24 first, the last verse. He says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Man, there's that hope. It's talking about the expectation of good things. Now, we use the word hope thinking it's a hope so, think so, just wanting something good to happen, even maybe expecting something good to happen. But the hope that's referred about God and the hope that's referred about the Bible, there's an expectation that you can guarantee is going to happen. So when he says, he shall strengthen your heart, those that hope in the Lord, is when you find the fact that you know that God's going to come through, you know that God's going to provide, that you know that God is your rock and that he is your defense, you know what's going to happen? He's going to strengthen you. When you live a life of doubt and going back and forth, you're going to have some weaknesses that are there. You're going to have some overwhelming times and faltering times. So let's jump in here. Psalm chapter 31. I'm going to read the entire chapter, give you a little bit of commentary as we go through and look at this idea about letting God strengthen your heart. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. So David starts right there. And David's been through a lot. We've seen a lot of the stories over the years. He's running from Saul at different times, running from Absalom at different times. He has been accused by many people. He has his own sins that he's dealing with. He says, let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. I like that phrase, let me never be ashamed. Hopefully, we're never ashamed of who God is and what God's done in our life. Hopefully, we will always stand forth and say, be a beacon and a mouthpiece for God. We help us not to be ashamed. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness. Then he says, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. He says, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Please listen to me. And we're thankful for the promises that are found in the Bible that he does listen. For he says, but be thou my strong rock. And when we think of rock, we think of something that's unchangeable and many times unmovable when it's talking about the strong rock out for a house of defense to save me. So David's saying, this is what I'm depending on you. This is what I'm thinking of you. And this is what I'm considering you. He says, look, you are my rock. You're my house of defense. He says in verse number 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. So not only is he saying you're my rock and that you're my defense, but he says, look, I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to pull me out away from the things that the enemy is laying out there to trap me, those things that are could discourage me, those things that could bother me. He says, and the reason why I need you to do that is because you're my strength. I'm not depending on myself to try to figure it out. It's you, Lord. He says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Now, you say, that sounds like a familiar phrase from the Bible. When we think about Jesus, when he died on the cross, he's saying, hey, I'm giving myself to you, my spirit. And that's the idea of what we can do, is giving our complete self over to him. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He says, you're the one that's redeemed me. I'm giving myself completely over to you. He says, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. It seems like he's using strong language there, but those people that keep on believing lies, he hates the fact that those that are making up because of their believing lying vanities is something that they're going to lie about him. He says, I'm not believing what others have to say. I'm believing what the Lord has to say. And those that are forsaking their own mercy and believing those lying vanities are something that we must make sure that we're not listening to what the people are saying, but we're trusting in God. He says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. David's going through something here, but he's saying, look, I'm able to rejoice. I'm able to be glad in something. He says, I know that you're merciful. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Now he asks once again, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. You know, David's here, he's in a desperate spot. Many times you see psalms that are joyful, rejoicing, praising, and he's mourning now. He's in a spot where he's in trouble. Now, we can rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in his mercy. Doesn't mean that we're always rejoicing in our circumstances. We think about someone who passes away. You're sorrowful for those who have been left behind, but you're rejoicing in the potential that heaven offers them. You know, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more of this, no more of that. And so it's something that we got to remember that it's hey, I'm struggling here. And that's what David is saying. He's being open and he's being honest. Sometimes people act like they never have a problem. Sometimes they act like they never go through anything. But David himself, a man after God's own heart, is saying, hey, look, I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul in my belly. He says, look, I am struggling right now and I need God to strengthen me. And what does he do? He goes and he prays to the Lord. He says, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Now, he makes it sound like here in this, as he's saying this, that these are some things he has caused from himself when he's talking about his strength because of my iniquity. And sin does have consequences. We can be forgiven, but many times we still must deal with those consequences. He says, I was a reproach among all my enemies. You think about it. He says, look, my enemies talk bad about me. No, that's not abnormal. But he continues on, and he says, not only was it my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. It's nice to have good neighbors. It's not good when you don't have good neighbors, when you don't have people that live near you. They're saying, look, my enemies were reproached. He says, the people that spoke worse about me was my neighbors, and a fear to my acquaintance. He says, I became a fear to those that knew me. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. You read verses 11, 12, and 13, you can see why he says he's in trouble. You can see that there are people saying false things about him. You can see that there's fear on every side, that he could take many, many, many different things and look at and focus on that and worry about that and fear that. And then you see here, he says, I've been forgotten. I'm like a broken vessel. And they even wanted to kill me. Let's keep on going. He says, verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O God, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. So we see him. He says, look, I'm trusting you, Lord. I am giving my times or my seasons, my life into your hand. And he's asking God to deliver him. Then he says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Now he's basing off God's promises of mercy. He says, maybe I don't deserve this, but I'm asking you to save me for your mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. He's asking God to help him do what he said in verse number one. I'm not going to be ashamed. He says, Lord, these things up here that are challenging ahead of me, it's coming to the point where I'm feeling like I might begin to become ashamed, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want these things to overcome me. I don't want these things to overwhelm me. I don't want my strength to succeed in the idea of the giving in. He says, Lord, I need you to help me. And many times when there's challenges in our life, and sometimes through some of the greatest victories afterwards are some of the lowest times, some of the hardest times to work through. And he's saying, let me not be ashamed. Verse 17, he says, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. He said, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly, and contemptuously against the righteous. And sometimes we're not able to stop people from talking. Sometimes people are going to say what they want to say, and there's people out there that say things that are untrue. They know it's untrue, and they do not have a conscience about saying them. They have no problem saying that. You see that sometimes in the political realm that we live in. We hear people saying things that are outright lies, and many times they're just saying it to get that out there. And even if they retract later on, that's still something that's on somebody. They are people out there that are just going to be vicious. And that's what he's saying here is, I can't control what everybody else is saying. But Lord, you're the one that can silence them. Lord, I'm trusting and counting on you. And he asked them to be put to silence. Verse 19. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And he talks about the goodness of God. I think we forget that. I think sometimes, so many times, people are focused on the wrong things. They're focused on God's judgment or God's this, God's that. But the Lord is good. He is good to us. And I don't think we always paint that picture. Sometimes when we're talking to people that are unsaved or maybe away from the Lord and they're talking about how bad the world is and this and that, we can't forget to tell them, look, the Lord is good. His mercy endure forever. You know, a Christian is someone who should have a joyful spirit and a joyful heart. And that's what David's reminding himself, even though he's going through all these different things, he says, look, Lord, you're still good. Not just good, he says, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. So it's not just the fact that God is good. He's laid up the goodness of the Lord for those that fear him, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. If you're going to trust in the Lord, he's going to make it to where you can see, have the goodness of God on you and in your life. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Yeah, David is here and he's saying, look, you're able to be hidden inside what God's trying to do. It's not something you have to be out there. Yes, you have to live amongst us, but God himself is able to hide you in the presence of from the pride of man and secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Lord, it's impossible for any individual to truly understand what's going on in someone's heart and what's going on in someone's mind. Lord, sometimes even when people are being completely honest, they're not always honest with themselves. So how are they able to relay what needs to be said? I'm thankful, Lord, that you know all things. I'm thankful that you're able to do all things. I'm thankful that you love us and that you care for us. And David here, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is putting himself out there, saying that he's in trouble and that he's struggling and he really needs some help. But by the end of the chapter, he's saying that you're going to strengthen his heart and that you're willing to strengthen our hearts. And Lord, I don't know why you laid this chapter or this specific verse on my heart, but I believe there's some people in this room that are hurting, that need your help, and they need some encouragement. Maybe they've had some victories here recently, and the devil does not like that, and he tries to attack that, and he tries to make people question the goodness of God. And even as we consider this brother of ours that's gone on to be with you, we know the challenges that their family faces. And Lord, I am so thankful that we can hope in you, that we can have confidence and trust in you, that you have not failed ever, and that you are holy. Not just good, you are unable to have evil. Lord, help us today. Encourage each person that's here today. Just remind them in their hearts that you're able to strengthen them. Maybe they don't need it today. Maybe there's going to be another day and time when things seem really dark, and they're going to be like David, says, I'm in trouble. But Lord, maybe the answer is today. Maybe they're questioning the truth that's found in your word. Lord, encourage someone's heart today with the fact that you will strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 24, I think about that last phrase, all ye that hope in the Lord. The promise is made to those that actually hope in God. What does that mean? It's the person who is actually trusting in God, the person who's depending upon God. If you stop trusting in the Lord and you stop depending upon him, you know what's going to happen? There are going to be doubts that come. If you leave, if you give place to the devil, and don't get me wrong, sometimes if people say, well, you mean you can never question God? I think you can ask God why. Doesn't mean he's always going to give you the answer you expect. And sometimes he's just going to say, hey, I want you to trust me. But at the same time, I think God knows our heart. He already knows what's there. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with being honest with the Lord, because that's what we should be anyway. And that's why I think David is here. He's showing himself. Remember, we think of this mighty man, this mighty David that killed Goliath, that had so many great victories that God had preserved and led him to the kingdom, led him to the throne. And yes, once again, he did fail and he did sin a number of times as the Bible records. And he even talks about how he is hurting, and he understands that some of that has to do with his own iniquity that we saw in verse number 10. So I want you to understand, sometimes our sin is what's causing us to lose our strength and our vitality for God. But I believe David here seems as if he's right with the Lord when he's writing this, and he's telling people, look, be courageous, be of good courage. And he says, the only way that you can do that is by hoping in the Lord. It's by hoping in the Lord. Resurrection Sunday was last Sunday, or Easter, whatever you want to call it. And we can have great hope because he has risen from the grave. If his body was still in the tomb, it would be great stories about what Jesus did, but we wouldn't have any hope, because how can we expect God to resurrect us if he could not even resurrect himself? And he did. He came out of the tomb triumphantly. Because of that, we can have hope in the fact that we know we're not going to be stuck in the grave forever, that someday, because he's promised us, he's going to rise. He's going to raise us up also. And that's exciting. We can have hope in that. And the challenge that's found in verse number 24 is, all ye that hope in the Lord. I've had the opportunity of doing a lot of funerals in my day, and it's great when the person's a believer, a Christian, where their hope is actually found in God. I don't have any hope to offer anybody about that individual that's passed. I've had people ask me questions, and sometimes they're hard questions, and sometimes people ask stupid questions when, you know, someone's there and they're mourning and they're asking something but I understand, but I can't offer hope for that person that's already gone unless they've known Christ, because they're gone. Their decision's already been made. Their fate has been sealed. As the Bible says in 3:18, they're condemned already. Death, passing away, doesn't change that. But if I can offer hope to anybody that's in the room. And I'll say to a person that I maybe did not know that well or never heard their testimony or their faith, and maybe someone who did not give a marks of a believer in their life, or most people are concerned about where they would be that day, I'll say something like, I have no idea where they're there today. According to the Bible, I do not know a man's heart. And if they question, you know, well, he did this and did that, and he says, well, doesn't show signs of a believer. I've never heard a testimony. I says, but there is hope for you. There is hope for anyone that's alive. God offers that hope, and he says, hey, look, you can know Christ, and you can have a personal relationship with me, that you can repent of your sins and cry out to God and ask him to save you, and then your hope is in heaven. Your hope is found not in man, not in the things you've done or haven't done. It's found in God. And the amazing thing is that God gives us promises according to the heaven and the word of God that strengthens us, that helps us, that does not make us fearful for that day when we pass on to eternity. But it doesn't just give us hope for those days. The Bible is filled with so many incredible promises about how we're supposed to live today, too. The Bible gives us so many different things. He says he will strengthen you. He will give you the help that you need. He will lead you. He will direct you. He'll do all these things for you if you learn to hope in him. So of course, Pastor, I hope in him. Yes, you may hope in him for your eternal security, for the day that you're going to heaven, but do you find trust and hope that God's going to deliver you even today? Are you walking by faith today in a way that shows that as I'm taking these steps of faith, God is taking care of me, and I trust in him, I depend upon him, I lean on him, I count on him to strengthen me? One of the things I see that's challenging in, over the years, even in my own life and so many other believers' lives, they like being a Christian. They're excited about going home to heaven and someday, and they're excited about being part of a church. But they're not walking by faith, they're walking by sight. They still make their decisions based off of what they see and what they can expect. And instead of really trusting the Lord, instead of leaning into the Lord of all your heart and all thine understanding and all thy ways, acknowledge him and letting God direct and lead their paths, they're coming to church, they hear the preaching, they hear the teaching, they see the singing, they experience what's going on. And then as they walk out the door and they're dealing with the day and time they live in, they're like Peter. They get out there on that water. They see the circumstances, and their faith is gone. They begin to sink. The challenge is for us today is not leaning into our own understanding, not walking by sight, but living by faith. And that's when we learn to hope in the Lord. David here is going through something, and I guess here when it says, I am in trouble, that's something that just kind of spoke to my heart and says in verse number 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Is sometimes we are going to be in trouble. But how we react to that is what we have our hope in. So many times when sickness comes, I'm overwhelmed by it. When a loved one has sickness, I'm overwhelmed. We can hope in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord. We can give that person over to God. What does David say in verse number 5? He says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. He's saying, all of me, Lord, I'm giving myself completely and totally over to you. So three quick things. Number one I want you to think about is we can have our hope in the Lord. We can have our hope in the Lord. Why can we have our hope in the Lord? In verse number 3, he is described as a strong rock. In verse number two, he's a strong rock. Verse number 2, he's a house of defense. Verse number 3 talks about how he's able to lead us. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, thy namesake, lead me and guide me. So we can hope in the Lord. Why is that? Because he is our security. He is our strength. He is the one that he is not going to change. He is the one that can protect us. He's the one that can take care of us. He is our house of defense. No matter what anyone else says, we can always turn to the Lord. And even though it seems like the whole world is against you, maybe your whole family is against you, even this might seem like your whole church family is against you, hopefully that's not the case. But hopefully everything is against you and this world is against you. And that's what David's saying. Hey, look, despite all the things that are happening, I can go and I can find my place of safety in the Lord. You think about what is said in verse number 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. He says, there is a place that I can go that I am safe and I secure, and that is found in God. Now, that's when we find our hope in him. When we find our hope in individuals, we might run to them and depend upon them. But individuals fail sometimes. And I've been discouraged by people before. People that are supposed to be the biggest help and the biggest encouragement, the person that you thought was going to be there for you, and then they hurt you. And we, a couple Wednesday nights ago, we looked at that, talking about Absalom. Absalom was supposed to be maybe the next in line, according to what the tradition or history would have said. I know God had said that Bathsheba's child was going to be. But all those different things, Absalom should have been a great encouragement to his dad. What happened? Absalom tries to steal the kingdom. And there are going to be people in your lives because they're human and they fail. And sometimes we give ourselves over to the things of this world and we give place to the devil. And sometimes the devil will use one person in this world to try to hurt you and attack you. And it's sad, shameful, it's sometimes disgusting, but you can turn to God and that's never going to happen. People will fail you at times, not always. We think about all the good things that people have done, all the encouraging things that people have done over the years, but sometimes people can fail you. Sometimes people will fail you, but you can go to God and you can hide in the Lord because he is your rock. He is your defense. But also the reason why we can hope in him is not only is there a rock in our defense, but he will also lead us where he wants to go. Second thing I want you to think about, and I don't think this is hard to get, is why we need to hope in the Lord. You go back and you read verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He talks about, he says, for thou hast considered my trouble. He talks about, he says, my adversaries. He talks about the hand of his enemy. He talks about how that he's in trouble. He's consumed with grief. His life is spent with grief in verse number 10. His strength is failing him. His bones are consumed. He's overwhelmed with all the things. And then people are saying lies about him. Even his neighbors and even those that are his acquaintances don't even want to be around him. That people are fleeing him. And he is nothing but a forgotten individual. And he even calls himself a broken vessel. He says, my life is completely shattered. But then he says, look, if I hope in the Lord, he's going to give me the strength to do the next one. Sometimes we might feel as if we can do everything and we can handle everything. Sometimes in our own strength, we feel like, hey, I can take care of this. This is my family. This is my situation. This is my problem. And we feel like we have confidence. That's not when God's going to give you the strength. The Bible says he's going to give you the strength when you learn to hope in him. We need his help. We need his strength. We do not know what the adversary has planned for us. But you see here in verse number 9, he's crying out to God. He even says, I cried out to thee in this passage of scripture. Verse number 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. Some even consider this, and I don't think it's that time at Ziklag, but he might be looking back and remember that time at Ziklag. I think this is later on in his life. At Ziklag is when there he comes back to Ziklag. The place has been destroyed. Their families have been taken, everything they had, and David's men are there with him, and they're even thinking about stoning David. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went and he had the ephod that was brought there and he began to encourage himself in God. And I think a way that a person encourages himself in the Lord is by remembering all those things. I can imagine if I was there and I was David and my men are there and they're disappointed in me, they're upset, they're frustrated, they're mad, they're even talking about stoning me, they're looking at rocks to kill me with. My wife is gone or my wives are gone, my families are gone. Everything that I was trying to live and do, it's all been taken away from me. But David can remind himself, you know what? I've been in some bad spots before. I've been discouraged before. I remember fighting Goliath, and God helped me then. I remember the time when Saul was chasing me, and God protected me. Later on, when Saul was chasing me, and God protected me. And God has brought all these different bits, and we encourage ourselves, reminding ourselves, man, God's been with me every step of the way, and sometimes I failed him, but he's never failed me. And sometimes when I didn't think I had the strength to make it, guess what? God gave me the strength to see me through some of the hardest things in my life, some very dark times. God was there. I think that's what David's saying here. He's saying, look, even though the worst thing, the worst case scenario, the thing you could paint, he says, look, God is able to, even when you're in that deep, dark trouble, to give you strength. So the last thing is, how do we put our hope in God? We can have hope in the Lord. We need God. We need to hope in the Lord. How can we do it? The first thing I like to think about is verse number 5 is, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I see that, and he's saying, my spirit, that's my inner being, that's all, that's who I really am. I'm just giving you everything, Lord. Everybody else is saying all these things are happening, I'm in trouble, my body even is weak, I'm just committing my whole entire self and I'm giving it to you. If you're going to hope in the Lord, one way you're going to do it is by saying, I'm surrendered to you. But surrendering is one thing. Taking down our own flag and saying, I don't want it, I want to put God on the throne. But the next step after surrender is learning to depend too. How many times have we fallen at the altar and saying, God, it's it, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore, only to get up and trust in ourselves again. True surrender is when not only do we learn to surrender and God speaks to my heart, is tomorrow I'm surrendering to depend upon him. It doesn't feel right. It's not natural. It's not normal. But I'm going to continue to surrender myself by learning to depend on what God has to offer for me, what God has planned for me, what God has designed to me. And he said, what does that mean? That's hoping in the Lord. I know that your way is better. I know your way is best. And as I surrender myself, I'm learning now to depend upon you, because the rest of the world doesn't make sense when I'm trusting in you. But many believers today are living by sight instead of by faith. They surrender for a few moments. I want to do everything you want me to do. But then they don't understand how God's going to do it. So they begin walking their way. That's not hoping in the Lord. That's knowing that he's going to save me someday, because I can do nothing to fix that. But true surrender is when I learn to hope in him for what he wants me to do tomorrow. If he tells me to forgive, I hope and I trust that God's going to work it out for best. I have confidence in the fact that he wants me to serve, that he wants me to forgive. I have confidence when it says to do something in the Bible that I'm going to do it because I hope in him. That is what God's going to give you strength to do. But do you think God's going to give you strength for the devil to keep on using you? I don't think so. Why will he give us strength and peace and inner hope if we're just living for him? If we learn to hope in him with our hearts and our lives, he gives us the strength in order to carry on what he wants us to do. Not only is he giving everything over to him, verse 23, it talks about this word, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. I look around the room, I see a lot of people that are faithful. You're here, Sunday school class. Not everybody is. I think it's a good thing that we come to Sunday school class. That means that you are dependable. But there's a difference between being dependable and full of faith. So if we truly want to have our hope in the Lord, it's got to come to the point that we give ourselves over to him, but we are continually faithful in doing that, being full of faith and confidence and hope in him. And verse number 24 says, the last thing is courageous. Be of good courage. Don't let the world beat you down. Don't give in to the enemy. He is a defeated foe. He has no right, and I mean none, no right in your life. He cannot force you to do anything. But so many times we give in ourselves. Have courage. Take those steps of faith. The Bible says in verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. And maybe some of you guys don't need this today. Maybe some of you guys are a little bit overwhelmed today. Anytime I get to deal with someone who is getting ready to go to heaven or goes to hell, I'm thankful for Brother Eidlitz's testimony, and I believe he's in heaven today. Praise the Lord for that. But it always reminds me that, man, I have such great hope, and so many people do. I have hope that someday I'm going to be eternity with heaven. Praise the Lord for that hope and that confidence you have. Now the challenge is, do it in your life today. Do it in your life tomorrow. I know God knows what's best in my next step. It doesn't make sense, but I know he can take care of me. That's when he's going to give us strength to do the things he wants us to do. Sometimes we're in trouble. Sometimes all around us, it seems like no one's listening. People are forsaking us. People are turning their back on us. People are even slandering us and lying about us. All these things are going wrong. All these things are going bad. And he's saying, you can have hope in the Lord. Where's your hope found at? And I'm not talking about heaven someday, because that's a wonderful preaching time. That's a wonderful, great thing to think about. But what's your hope for tomorrow? Where's your confidence found in your trust? Not your, I'm really, 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 really anticipating something good happening. Or is it, I'm trusting in the Lord. And I know he's going to give me strength to do what he wants me to do next. And then what he wants me to do next. Because sometimes the days are so dark and so hard that all I can do is take that next step. And that's what David's saying. He shall strengthen you. There were days like that for David. When Saul was chasing him. When Absalom was chasing him. All he could do was take that next step. And he is giving testimony saying, I know God will strengthen you when you hope in him. What true faith is, learning to hope in him when you have another choice. When you learn to trust in him, when there's other opportunities, that's when you're living by faith. It's easy to trust in God when you're in such trouble and there's nowhere else to turn. It's living by faith today when, hey, I could do something else, but I choose not to because my hope is found in what God can do. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing tonight, today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Like I said, there's